Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Preach. I'm Rabbi Don Weber, and today we're going to talk about Don's do's and don'ts for preaching, which is really just my alliterative way of saying all the things I wanted to include that didn't fit in somewhere else. So let's start with how long a sermon should be. A sermon should be 10 minutes long, or a sermon should be 20 minutes long. Or a sermon should be 8 minutes long. Or a sermon should be any absolute definite number, because whatever absolute definite number, that is absolutely definitely wrong. A sermon should be as long as is necessary to communicate your one sentence, and no longer. Here's a hint for you. If in your sermon you say, just one more thing, or, and finally, I'd suggest you take both of those as warnings, because both of those are ways of saying to people, I know this is going on a long time, hang in there, we're almost done. Now, my goal when I gave a sermon was to be done before anybody looked at their watch. Because the moment a person looks at their watch to see how long it's been, to see how much longer it's going to be, the relationship, the I-thou moment is lost. I want to end my sermon still in that relationship, in that I-thou moment with my listeners. And that means being done before they start to get tired. So if you ever start to think that you're apologizing for how long it's going on, stop. Stop talking and don't do it. Something I was told a long time ago was to have a three-point sermon. That is, sermons should have an introduction, three main points, and a conclusion. And from the first time I heard that, I thought, why? What if I have two really good points? Do I need to invent a third one? What if I only have one point, and the whole sermon builds toward that one point? A three-point sermon is an artificial structure. If it works for you, use it. But feel free to ignore it anytime that it doesn't, whether in general or for a particular sermon. There's nothing sacred about the three points. Give the sermon the way it works for you. Now, I was taught, and I truly believe, the importance of citing your sources when you give a sermon. In Mishneh Pirkei Avot, chapter 6, Parak 6, we're commanded to tell people when we speak someone else's ideas. Because taking someone else's ideas and saying them as if they were your own is considered theft. And I'm a firm believer in doing things b'shem omro, in the name of the one who said them, but when I'm giving a sermon, not writing an academic paper, I need to quote people in a way that makes sense. I ask you, do you remember the exact citation I just gave from the Mishnah? I don't think most of you do, which is why I wouldn't ever say it that way in a sermon. I would say, the Mishnah says, or Pirkei Avot says. When I quoted Rabbi Lawrence Kushner in an earlier episode, I didn't tell you where or when I heard his class, because it didn't matter. If you want to know more, you know how to reach me. But most important, I followed the rule by telling you that it was not my idea. It was Rabbi Kushner's idea. That's what I needed to do. I didn't need to give you chapter and verse on everything that I heard. So now I ask, when does the sermon happen in the service? Back in ancient times, measured by Reformed Jews as a time of the Union Prayer Book newly revised in the 1930s, it told us when the sermon happened. Right there on page 70 in capital letters, it said, sermon. And so generations of Reform rabbis, and others as well, have decided that after the Torah service, right before Aleinu, is when we give the sermon. But it doesn't have to be that way. Give the sermon when it's the right moment for the sermon. If you want them to leave with your words ringing in their ears, then it should be near the end, maybe even at the bitter end. But if there's something you want them to think about during the service, then your sermon should be one of the first things that happens in that service. And sometimes it's good just to stop and give the sermon at a different point, just to shake people up a little bit, which will get them listening. Now, I share with you something that I learned long ago that I didn't understand in the beginning. Dr. Eugene Borowitz, Zichrono Livracha, was one of our teachers at Hebrew Union College. And every week on Thursdays, one of the senior rabbinic students would give a sermon, and afterwards there would be a critique for all the students and all the faculty. And Dr. Borowitz would listen and then would slowly rise and look at everybody and go, "Very nice sermon, but what do I do with it?" I think he made the word "do" into a seven-syllable word. When I first heard them demand this of a terrified rabbinic student who had just delivered a sermon at our school, I didn't think much of it. Not every sermon needs to end with doing something. Sometimes all we want is for people to think about something. But as I listened to Dr. Borowitz week after week, I saw that his definition of doing was much larger than physical action. What he was saying was, when you finish your sermon, do you want us to be finished with it too? If not, then you'd better tell us one way or another what you want us to do with what you're giving us. Should we think about it? Should we be proud of it? Should we be happy about it? Should we be angered by it? Should we act on it? Should we turn to someone right now and say something? Should we resolve to do something today or tomorrow or at the big rally on Sunday? Should we bring food or write a check or write a letter to the editor or say a prayer? It turns out Dr. Borowitz was right. If we want our ideas to live on after the words leave our mouths, we have to show our listeners how, if they want to, they can keep this feeling alive. When you give a sermon, tell us what you want us to do with it. So this is the final chapter of this podcast for now. So what do I want you to do with what I've shared? I hope you'll consider my ideas. Try the ones that seem promising for you. Evaluate how they work. Discard the things that don't work for you and keep the ones that do. When I made these changes, especially when I decided to preach without a net, my sermons became more powerful and more persuasive. I hardly ever give a low-energy sermon anymore because I don't have a finished text to lean on. I'm creating it as I go. And I can never hide behind my text anymore because there isn't a text to hide behind. Now my sermons are more personal because I look into people's eyes as I speak to them. Doing this has reminded me of what I love about being a preacher. I love remembering my one sentence, getting them to listen, to pay attention no matter what it takes, and preaching to change the world. If you try any of these ideas, I hope you find, as I do, that you still hate writing sermons, but that you love having written them. And now that you've listened to me, I want to listen to you. If you have feedback, positive or negative, on any of the episodes of this podcast, I'd love to hear it. If you have questions about preaching, I'd be honored to discuss them with you. And when I collect some good questions, I'll do another episode to share them with everybody. You can reach me at rebweb36@gmail.com. A link is on the homepage of Preach, which is at rabbidonweber.com, where you'll also find recordings of many of my sermons, the good and the bad, for you to hear how all this works in real life. I thank you for listening. This podcast was new to me, and I hope you found it challenging. I know I did. And as I said to you at the end of each episode, I had fun. Thank you.